This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for my weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, Happy New Year. Always great to be with you.
Always great to be here, except when you start asking the questions, Greg.
All right. Well, I've got to start somewhere. So let's start with the biggest story of the week. Obviously, a very horrific situation down in the Caribbean island of Haiti, 7.0 magnitude earthquake. Tens of thousands suspected dead. Some say it could go north of 100,000. The capital city is in shambles. The government's essentially in shambles. And now for the past couple of days, we've seen the president talk about what steps the U.S. is taking. Your thoughts on the tragedy and the response to this point?
The tragedy was something that has long been waiting to happen. Haiti, very much like the Dominican Republic that it shares an island with, are in an area that has been particularly vulnerable to hurricanes over the last 10 years. And we certainly have seen disaster in the making. It's unfortunate that the poorest country in the hemisphere has to be the chief victim of this natural disaster, which, when all is said and done, will probably exceed Katrina in terms of being the greatest natural disaster in history. As to where we go from here, I believe that, as it was with Katrina, all the nations of the world will pitch in with aid, led by the United States, of course. When you talk about the government being in shambles, out of it all and out of the darkness that's there, some good might come. It could well be that this leads to a new government in Haiti, that it puts its very checkered past and self-governance behind it, and in disaster finally decides to get it right in terms of helping the people, eliminating corruption, and moving on with the rest of the hemisphere. For now, the important thing is to save lives. We've even seen the death of the Catholic Archbishop, as well as the United Nations peacekeepers, and it is up to the world to make sure that life is saved, and then maybe out of it something better will come.
John, quick follow-up on a comment that probably doesn't deserve a whole lot of attention, but the Reverend Pat Robertson, who at one time was a presidential candidate, said that this is the result of the Haitians making a deal with the devil to free themselves from French occupation in the early 1800s. Your thoughts on the comment and the fallout?
Well, I would say to Reverend Robertson, with all due respect, that revisiting the history of the early 18th century or the 19th century or even the earliest 20th century doesn't save a single life, rescue someone from hunger, or rebuild a home right now. Quite honestly, I would also respectfully tell him that he should know his history. Toussaint L'Ouverture, a slave, led a rebellion that was very spontaneous, and no one can talk at all about any connections with the devil, except for the fact that in later times, voodoo became a very influential force within the island and still is to this day. There's a lot of other factors that are out there. And once again, Pat Robertson is good at everything he does except political commentary.
Well, John, let's move on to some other political commentary now, beginning with the ongoing health care fight. It sounds as though from some Democratic leaders that there's a stalemate. Others say we're getting close to the finish line here and that a bill might be shipped off to the Congressional Budget Office for scoring by the end of the week. The big compromises that need to be made are obviously on what to do with the public option, which will probably stay out, how to phrase the language that protects taxpayers from funding abortion, and, of course, the Cadillac insurance policies. What kind of tax will they see? What are you hearing?
Well, those are the three main arguing points between the House and the Senate versions of the health care bill. My own guess is that anyone who could cobble together a package that satisfies the disparate factions on abortion, on the so-called Cadillac health care plans, has got to be nothing short of a genius and a political par excellence. I just don't see it there, because I think when everything comes together, someone is going to be alienated. Take, for example, the public option. Yes, I agree with you, that will probably not see the light of day in the final bill, but that's going to lead to some on the left deciding to leave. And remember, the bill that passed the House passed by only three votes. With Congressman Wexler of Florida resigning and his seat vacant, it will take two votes to reverse it. In addition, 13 Republican House members have announced they're not running. 10 Democrats have not. And as a result, many of them may decide that they don't have to fear Nancy Pelosi anymore and could reverse their votes. I would not want to be in the position she's in right now.
John, let's talk about a couple of other things. First of all, I want to give you credit where credit is due with a very accurate prediction. In fact, the clip I'm about to play is from the Thursday before Labor Day, just a number of days after the passing of Senator Kennedy, when all the jockeying was beginning. And I asked you whether Republicans really had a reason to think they had a shot at winning the Senate seat up there. And here's what you said.
Yes. Remember, Massachusetts elected a Republican governor three times in a row in the 1990s. The last Republican governor, of course, being Mitt Romney, who only stepped down in 2006.
Now, later in the comment, you said you thought Republicans would have a chance because you thought there would be a very bruising Democratic primary. That didn't materialize so much, but, John, the Republicans definitely feel they have a shot, and the polls seem to back it up.
Yes, they certainly do at this point. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. Given the fact that the Republican candidate has a very exciting campaign, more than held his own in the televised debate with Martha Coakley, and that a lot of members of her own party just don't like the Democratic nominee, I'm going to say that while he may have peaked a bit too early in the polls, Scott Brown will pull off an upset because of low turnout and enthusiasm on his team's part. He will become the first Republican senator of Massachusetts since 1978, and with that, spell the death knell for health care in the Senate. Remember, he's campaigned as the 41st senator, and we know what that means.
John, so you're parlaying your predictions here, not only a Scott Brown victory, but the death of the Democratic health care bill.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, speaking of the Senate and Democrats, Harry Reid is definitely in hot water, although less so given the events of the week and obviously the attention paid to the earthquake damage down in Haiti. But Harry Reid in big trouble over the weekend for comments he made during the 2008 presidential campaign, in which he said he believed the public would be receptive to a candidate like Barack Obama because he was light-skinned and that he didn't have a Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. Several Republicans asked for his resignation. In the end, the president and others pretty much made it clear that that wasn't going to happen. What's the long-term significance of this, if any?
Well, the long-term significance is it just reminds a lot of people, particularly voters in Nevada, why they are fed up with Harry Reid and why I have long felt confident he will lose no matter who his Republican opponent is. I'd say it's also got to embolden a lot of Republicans in the sense that they are seeing a double standard emerge. Trent Lott said that history would have been different if Strom Thurmond had been elected president in 1948, forced to step down as leader. The Democrats have a long history of their members saying, "I'm sorry," and matters being forgotten. Hugo Black was never stopped from being on the Supreme Court for being a Ku Klux Klansman, and Robert Byrd today is a revered figure, even though he himself wore the white sheet of the KKK. Lyndon Johnson's maiden speech in the U.S. Senate in 1949 was a spirited defense of segregation, and yet he's revered as the greatest civil rights president since Lincoln. And now, of course, there's Harry Reid, who simply moves along as the field marshal in the Senate of Obama's health care and the incident forgotten. With the public, this might not resonate, and it may be forgotten. With Republican activists, I think you're going to see another story.
John, a very busy week. I'm sure next week will be as well. We'll talk then. Thanks for your time, as always.
Drawing a peaceful breath and daring the cold on Capitol Hill, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.